Here we go. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your grace, for your unmerited favor upon us. What a glorious thing it is. We thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, it is your sword that you use to divide the soul, spirit, to judge our thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. Only you can do that through your word. We pray, Lord, that we would have a hunger and a desire for your word. Increasing all the more, especially, Lord, as these days and our culture and our society seem to be growing darker and darker. We pray that you'd help us to hold on to your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. So bless our time we have this morning as we look into how to study your word. May our eyes, ears, hearts, minds all be open to hear what it is that you have for us this morning. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we are on lesson two now. And our memory verse is 2 Timothy 2:15. And you can read along there in your workbook with me that it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved of God or approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." Okay, so that's our memory verse all through lesson two. It will be the same as we did in lesson one. How many ever weeks were in lesson two is how many weeks were in lesson two. You can test each other on it. Please don't be afraid to do that. Just make sure people are trying to memorize that. There is a benefit. We're going to talk about that a little bit in lesson two, the benefits of memorizing scripture. And the hard part for me, and I think John MacArthur did a good job of illustrating this. I know where it's at in my Bible, and I can turn the page and find it because I know what it looks like there. But sometimes my brain has a hard time recalling, like just out of the blue, like, okay, it's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse whatever. There are some verses that obviously that are very kind of stuck in my brain. But again, some of them are in different translations. That's okay. As long as you're memorizing the scripture, and we talked about how we got our Bible in the first lesson, most of our modern translations are accurate, and we don't need to be wondering, hey, do I have an accurate translation? We really do. If you are interested in going deeper into how the Bible came about, how these 66 letters that we have, these 66 books came to become our Bible. There is a theologian. His name is Wesley Huff. He's very thorough. He's a young guy, but he is super, super intelligent, super smart. God has really blessed him and gifted him with the ability to not just know, but how to explain it in a way that anybody can understand it. His name is Wesley Huff. He's a Canadian theologian. So if you ever wonder if anything good could come out of Canada, the answer is yes. We got Greg and we got Wesley. We got two good things. So be nice. All right. So how many of you were able to listen to the second sermon? Okay, very good. Anything that stood out to you in those in that message? It was that boring. Okay.
Oh.
Yes.
The thing that stuck out to me was how he was able to remember, as you were saying earlier, about where things were on the page within his Bible. And he recommended reading 1 John
Yes.
30 days.
Yes.
Once
Oh,
a
yeah.
day.
Over. Yeah.
Not that I've been reading it, but I've been listening to it. I've been doing things at home. And it's like, yeah, you start absorbing all of that knowledge or
Yeah.
that information, and then you can start thinking about it and meditating on it. And then I thought, this is a really good way to do this because you read it once and you go, okay, great, that's wonderful. I got it. Well, you don't got it. You don't have
Right. Yeah, you've got the surface level, but there's so much more underneath it. And it's very true. One of the exercises we had to do was with First John when I was in seminary, and that was we had to read First, Second, and Third John every day, all the way through 5 times a day. with a notebook, making observations for 4 weeks, and we did that. And let me tell you, you start getting more and more out of it. The hard part for my brain, because my undiagnosed ADD is trying to skip over where I'm at in anticipation of where I'm going, if that makes any sense. Like, okay, I know what this part is, and I know where it's going. So my brain's already working that way, but I haven't gotten through. And I think listening is a very beneficial thing. I know he emphasizes reading it, and that's great if you are a good reader, okay? And you don't have dyslexia or anything like that, dysmorphia or, a dysgraphia with, if you don't have any of those issues, reading is great. Do it. But don't let that negate or take away from the hearing of God's word. Because the first Christians never read the Bible themselves. Very few, me, a very small minority, because it wasn't readily available. And if your village had a copy of a portion of the scripture, it was guarded. And there was no way Joseph was going to come in and read that apart from being watched like a hawk by the priests of the synagogue. It just wasn't going to happen. Same thing with the letters that Paul wrote. When they arrived at the church, they were in possession of a man named Tychicus. His job was to deliver the letter. And sometimes that letter didn't stay at that congregation. It went on to the next. So he stayed there. He had the elders of the church read it to the church. Then his job was to get that letter back and then go to the next town that Paul wanted him to go to. And you can read that. Make sure to read the letter that's coming to you from Laodicea at the end of Colossians. And then make sure that this letter's read to them. Why? Because Paul only wrote one letter and it had to make its rounds. And so you had Philippians, Colossians, and Ephesians, and they were letters that were to specific congregations, but they were taken to other churches and read there. So hearing was the only way the first believers ever heard the word of God. So don't negate that. I mean, it counts. If you're like, well, I've never read through the Bible, I just listen to it, then you're far better off than a lot of people are.
My problem when I'm listening to something like that is I'll think like do this while I'm listening. You need to focus, and that's where that
Well, and even don't discount that either, Jeannie, because hearing it gets in there. It's gonna get in there, and the more times you listen to it, the more times you're gonna, and that repetition comes to you, you can start memorizing it just from listening to it. I mean, how many of you know a song and you've never read a lick of music in your life, right? But if I start singing, na da 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 da, right? You guys know that. I didn't have to, yeah, it was that, you know what it is, you know who wrote it. And have you ever played it? Nope. You ever read the sheet music for it? Nope. Maybe Finley has. But the rest of us just, we just, that's how we learn, is we learn by repetition and we learn by hearing. And faith comes by what? Hearing the words of Christ. So even if you're in the middle of doing something, mucking a stall or whatever you got to do during the day, and you've got First John playing in your ears, or you've got whatever playing in your ears, and you have that going on over and over again,
I'll
it's
just try
gonna
and step through that for you.
you can go to, so what I have is I have I don't even know what it's called. The YouVersion Bible app is what I have.
What is it called?
YouVersion Bible app.
YOU or you?
Yes, YOU, like
YOU.
YouVersion Bible app. Now, what I like about this is that you can download a bunch of different stuff. It's got devotionals, it's got scriptures of the day, all that garbage if you want to do, not garbage, all that stuff. If you want to be tied to your phone all day, it will tie you to your phone all day. It's great for that, okay? But what I also like about it is that is you can upload or download onto your phone different versions of it. So you can get the ESV, the NIV. Some of them cost. The ones that I use are the free ones. And then it will read to you. There's a button, a feature on it that you can click to read to you. And it'll read to you that version. And then you can start wherever you want. Yeah, Cleo? Does he? Okay. Oh, GTY?
So does John MacArthur.
Yeah. So John MacArthur has a version. Any preacher on television is going to probably have one. Some of them good, some of them bad. Please use discernment with the devotionals and stuff like that. That's why I called it garbage, because I don't need that. I just need the Bible part. But it's good reminder. Like, they have verses of the day. Sometimes they actually get them in context. That's great. Sometimes they don't, but that's okay. Very good. Any other observations from listening to his message?
I thought it was interesting that he said, find someone to share it with. Because that gives motivation when you have someone to talk about. That's what we thought. I mean, I always have, because you're in a Bible study, but I never really thought about the importance of that.
Yeah, well, and what do they say? If you want to know material well, teach it to somebody. And that's what we're doing. And that's part of the disciple making process, though.
Well, it's like when I was in graduate school, I took physiology in graduate school. I had to teach it totally different. This is I didn't think I knew it. And when you have to teach it, it's completely different.
It is very different. I feel the same way when I'm teaching at the seminary, being on the other side of the podium. It's a lot different. Yeah, Luis.
So, Garrett, at least in my case, I am surrounded by a lot of people who are non-believers, or at least to my knowledge. And you know, there's some people at work that are believers, but they're no longer side by side. And I catch myself thinking less about the word Christ and whatnot. And every here and then I throw little sprinkles
absolutely.
Here and there. You know, I don't go and I preach to people and say, hey, let's bow down our heads and pray. I want to pray and read.
Right.
You know, but whenever I have a chance or a little in, I do it.
Yeah.
But these would be people that I kind of feel about it. But what about when, like I said, when you're surrounded by people that...
Well, God has really blessed you with two little minds that live in your house every day. And that you can share with them all the time. Here's what God's showing me in this. And don't discount their age. Because I remember, and I'm going to use Jathan because he's here.
Yep.
We would read through the children's Bible or the adventure Bible. That's more like a, what do you call it? Like a graphic novel kind of Bible. And finally, he just, I can't remember how old he was. He's pretty young. It was before my girls were born. And he just said, can we just read through the Bible? I said, sure. Where do you want to start? He's like, Daniel. I'm like, oh, great. So I just read to him through Daniel. And we would read it a few verses. And I would say, do you understand what that means? And he would ask questions. And I would answer them to the best of my ability. And sometimes just doing that, Luis, I mean, you have two little disciples that you can be making right now. I mean, really, that's your first ministry as a father, is to disciple your children. You know, how often do you do it? Well, you go back to Deuteronomy 7. What does it say? When you rise in, when you rise up, when you lay down, when you're walking by the way, so when you're driving in the car, when you're doing all these things, bringing those things up that you're learning from the scriptures and imparting it to them. It doesn't necessarily have to be peer-to-peer. It can be to your children. And that, I mean, that's the biggest blessing you can do for them, as well as for yourself, is instructing, you know, teaching, training your children up in the way that they should go, so that when they are old, they don't depart from it. Yeah, Peggy, I saw your little fingers.
I think I'm in the wrong. Mine was on Ezekiel and the attributes of God.
We're in lesson two. I don't know what page that is for you guys. What page is lesson two for you guys?
This is my message. You know, I mean,
page 15.
Starts on 15.
Not that, but
yeah, well, we're not in there yet. We're still talking about John MacArthur's message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. I thought it was the message, and it was on Ezekiel.
I think you listened to
attributes and.
Oh, you listened to the wrong message. That's okay. That's the next one. you jumped ahead of us a little bit. That's okay. So he that is the next one. It is good. I have listened to it. I know what you're talking about. But yeah, right now we're talking about learning the Bible. So it would be the second one on that. But yes,
Cleo. To this point, I think sometimes as a Christian, our character and how we behave around non-Christian speaks louder than what comes out of our mouth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you're in a situation where somebody wants you to cheat a customer, for example, no, we're not going to go do that. That's just that doesn't set well with me. Whatever you feel is appropriate to say, that's a message to them, loud and clear.
Yeah.
No, we're not going to cheat these guys. It's important. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe that will spark a conversation later on down the road.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you want to do that? I mean, it's going to profit us. Well, no. Then you can go in and explain.
Yeah, or having that worth ethic that says, yeah, we're repairing a public bathroom.
Yeah.
We're going to do it for the Lord, though. So it's going to be top notch. It's going to be good. Like, we're going to do good work. We're not just going to halfway ourselves through this kind of a deal. And you're right, Cleo. Our actions can speak volumes to others. And then as you're praying for opportunities to share, it will come up. I remember several times people asking me direct questions about my faith when I'd never even mentioned anything.
Asking you to pray for them.
Yeah.
I pray.
Right. Yeah. 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 Exactly. Yeah. Greg.
Funeral director.
Mm-hmm.
I did this family, the arrangements. And as they were walking out, it was five of them. And they go, can we ask you something? Well, as I was done, I said, sure. They go, are you a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
Said, yes, I am. And they all went, yeah, we knew and we figured that out.
Yeah.
That was more to me than anything. Because I never said anything.
Right.
And people used to figure out what I did and start asking me about heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Those are interesting questions. But
I bet.
But just for them doing that, that blew me away.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you'll be surprised just how basic Christian living in a world affects people and they notice it. Things that we don't really even think, like it was hammered into me by my father and my mother, but mostly my father, to treat older folks and even peers with a level of respect that is higher than what you think they might deserve. And so you say, yes, sir. You say, yes, ma'am. You say, thank you. You say, please, at the end of a sentence. And when I don't do that, my wife notices. She's like, why didn't you say please? I'm like, I said please. She's like, no, you didn't. And I'm like, oh, well, something didn't come out right. Like, it's short-circuited. I've been stopped in Costco with somebody saying, are you in the military? No, I've never been in the military, but my father was. He's like, well, it shows. Because I was just coming around a corner and I almost bumped carts with an older gentleman. And I said, whoa, excuse me, sir. I'm so sorry. You know, I didn't mean to, I got to watch where I'm going. Are you okay? And he said, yes. I'm like, all right, you have a great day, sir. Sorry about that. Like, just came out. And the guy caught up with me on the other aisle to ask me that question. I remember as a kid, this was back when children were allowed to have paper routes, going up to the door, knocking on a house. And this guy wanted to be a cool guy. You know, he's in his 30s, 40s. He's like, you don't have to call me sir. And I'm like, yes, I do. He's like, why? I'm like, because my dad will not accept anything else coming out of my mouth. You know, I made the mistake one time of calling one of my uncles by their first name. I won't even do it right now. I do just to illustrate it. And my dad he didn't lay a hand on me. He didn't need to. But he made sure in no uncertain terms that you are here. They are here. So when you take that, and this was before he became a Christian, and you take that and you start applying Romans chapter 12, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought to, but rather with sober judgment. And then you treat others as what? Better than yourself or higher, deserving of more honor. That Christianity just starts coming out and people notice that you're not the person fuming at the customer service desk over a mistake. You're upset, but you're not, smoke's not coming out of your ears. You're not telling the person off and you're just like being calm. And that speaks volumes. I mean, this happened to me in Virginia. He was running late. The Hertz desk was running late. And he came up and he was super apologetic. I'm like, hey, it happens. It's not a big deal. Just if our car's here, we're good to go. He's like, he took a deep breath. And I'm like, yeah, just relax. We're good. Not in a hurry. Just got my family right there. We're just turning the van in. And he just was like, thank you so much. He's like, you were such a blessing to me today because I've just had a heck of a day. He didn't use heck, but you know, he's just had it, you know, and so I'm like, well, you know what? You're welcome. You know, bad days happen for everybody. And yeah, we're good, you know, so you never know. Yeah, I saw a hand. Miss Tony.
Yeah, I don't want to belabor it, but when Cleo was saying, you know, sometimes you don't even have to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
You used to work for the county. They definitely don't allow you to, you know, to
propagate there, yeah.
used to have a Bible to bring and put it on my desk all the time.
Yeah.
And if you want to get in conversation with somebody on your lunch or something like that, a woman who I didn't know very well came by, asked me to pray for her. Son had just got into an accident.
Mm.
That's all she did. She said, please pray for me. What's his face? You know, and she left.
Yeah.
And I thought about that before, and one of those, never said anything to me about being a Christian.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like that. But God has a way of you know.
Oh, yeah.
His.
Yep. Does it help, Luis?
Yes.
Very good. Good.
And he made me think of like, oh, you know what? They're 100% right.
Yeah.
There's this co-worker. He's actually, his last day was Friday.
Mm-hmm.
He's becoming a new pastor.
Oh, wow.
Church and Vancouver. Yeah, I think it's Parkway or one in Vancouver. I can't
remember. Okay.
He's becoming a new pastor. Great guy. And then, you know, everybody was, they sign up on the board, like, hey, you know, great working with you, blah, 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 blah. And I wrote down, great working with you. Have a blast serving the Lord. And then another guy saw me writing in, kind of chuckled, like, serving the Lord. Well, yeah, he said, you pastor. I'm like, well, yeah, literally. Mm-hmm. But he hit me, and I replied back to him, like, but it doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah.
You always have to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
No matter what you do. And then he's like, ah. And he just came out of my mouth. But he,
right.
He didn't even think about it when he's Cleo mentioned it. But he's one of those things that I hope he reflects also how
right.
It works. Because actions are louder than words.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, and consistency, really. Right. You know, consistency in that way. And those are great. That's one way to impart what God's teaching you through his word, you know, is by just living it out and people seeing it. But then if you're a parent, sharing it with your children, with your spouse, if you're married, if you're not, finding a brother and sister in the Lord that you can get together and share what God is revealing to you through his word. Yeah.
Just one more. This is why.
Yeah.
Realized that I was getting stronger in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
My boss, Greg Bryant, brought me in and chewed me out. I'm just sitting there. And he goes, do you agree with my decision that I'm going to have you do? I said, not at all. I said, but I serve the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm supposed to, and I'm to honor my employer.
Yeah.
And I looked, where the heck did that
go? You're like, well, now I'm stuck.
He said, you understand. He said, I don't agree with you at all.
Yeah.
I will honor you. If he's anything else, he just shook his head and I walked out.
Mm-hmm.
I closed the door and I went, I thank God. It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Because I told him that If we do, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Not God, but I will serve you.
Okay. Very good.
So yeah. I knew I started to evangelize.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Get people's attention when you don't act like the world.
Yeah.
Right.
And you act like Christ in those situations. Like, okay, I don't agree with this, but yeah. Very good. Any other observations? I really like this message because he had questions and answers, which I was not expecting. I didn't realize that it was like a conference recording.
Yeah.
So that was very neat to be able to hear other people asking questions about God's word, about and having him answer. I mean, from what I understand, off the cuff, not scripted, you know. And I really appreciated his what he said about, you know, when you start reading the word, that you pray that God gives you a hunger for that word, to continually hunger for that word. And, you know, that happens. You know, the more you study it, the more you listen to it, the more you hear it, the more you put it into practice, the more, you know, the spirit within you says, yes, we want this more. Anything else, any other comments or any other observations before we dive into the lesson?
And it happens all, you know, every so often, but just not too long ago, where something went down with somebody, and my friends, they come back, oh my God, we're taking advantage of you. They were, and I'm like, no, I was fully aware of the situation. Mm-hmm. I made choices.
Yeah.
To, through my own feelings and faith in God, to grace them with that.
Yeah.
I wasn't, you know, I knew what I was doing.
Right.
Because I'm like, I understand myself out of them. Feel good about them. And,
yeah. Yeah. And it does come up, you know. I mean, we spent all those lessons establishing the fact that when we have our Bibles open, we are looking at the words of God.
Amen.
That these are God's words. These are God's thoughts. They were inspired by him. We know that our assurance of that word is more firmly rooted in reality than our own experiences. That everything that we need for life and godliness is contained within that word. And so now, as we move from that lesson to this next one, then how do we know it? You know, how do we get to know it? And we look at this. So what do you guys think? What are some compelling reasons for knowing God's word? We talked about one, so that we can bear witness and or testify to his grace, of his grace and his mercy in our lives. What are some other ones?
Reasons to read the Bible?
Yeah, reasons to know it. Reasons to know the scriptures or read the Bible. Yeah.
To be able to.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
To be able to bring it up and apply it to your life.
Yeah, yeah. To live it out. Exactly. Yeah. Did you have something different, Jeannie?
Being approved by God.
Yeah, being approved by God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jathan?
So what you're talking about with your tongues.
Yeah. Having some kind of knowledge about what you're talking about. The blessing about scripture is sometimes you just got to let it speak for itself. But you got to know it in order for it to speak. You know, if you don't have your Bible with you, you know, while you're somewhere, anywhere, and you don't have that understanding or that knowledge, it's hard to bring up what you don't know. And so, yeah, that's a good one. So we've got.
I keep trying to my feet and life my path. And, you know, I've heard yeah. that many, many times, but it just recently when I was reading it again, it's like, he's a lamp to my feet. So that's me. Mm-hmm. But he's also a light to my path. That's where I'm going.
Right.
So it's like twofold. It's not just only for me, but it's.
Yeah. It's for the right now.
Yeah.
And it's for what's ahead.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Very good. Do we have, I mean, I would say growth is number one. Number two would be, you know, defeating sin in our lives. Though we have a new nature, that sin still tries to rear its head or rear its dominion over us. And God's word is the one thing that we're given to defeat sin. I mean, we look at the example of Jesus when he was Right after his baptism, he's led by the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness. He fasts for 40 days and 40 nights. And then it says, then Satan came to tempt him. And what did Jesus use in order to defeat temptation? Yeah, he used scripture. Particularly, specifically, he used Deuteronomy. But he used scripture in order to defeat those temptations. So knowing God's word helps us in our struggle with sin, helps us grow closer to God, preparing us for service so that, like Jathan said, if we don't know what we don't know until we know. You know, and it's better to know and not need than need and not know. And we learned that yesterday at the CPR training thing. It's better to know this stuff and never need it.
Amen.
Than to need it and not know what to do. And so it prepares us for service. And it also equips us for the edifying of others so that it's not just a personal thing. Like, oh, it's me and I and my walk and I'm growing closer to my Savior and it's all about me and me, me, me. It also equips us to be a blessing to others. You know, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and we liken that to a tree. You know, trees don't eat their own fruit. Their fruit is there for what? For others. So as we take in God's word and we equip ourselves and we prepare ourselves to do the work of the ministry amongst the church, then we become a blessing to others and it edifies others. And so we have that for a reason. And just to help. Sometimes you just need to come alongside someone and remind them of what God's word says. You know, someone's hurting. You know, God, you know, remember what Jesus said? I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Remember, you know, remember Psalm 23. Everybody knows Psalm 23. And you start quoting it with him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by still waters. He comforts me. And even though I feel like I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, the reality is it's just a shadow.
Amen. Yeah.
And when you're little and you don't have understanding, shadows are what? Skin. But as you come to know the Lord, that shadow becomes what? Less scary. And you were with me, your rod, your staff. They comfort me. So all of those things are something that knowing God's word allows us to do. We go closer to him. We can have victory over sin and temptation. We can be prepared for serving others. We can be prepared to help others and to be a blessing to others. I mean, there are so many reasons for wanting to study God's word. And it is It's an internal thing, but it's also an external thing. And to put God's word into practice for the blessing of those around you, you know, so.
Grows us up.
It does. It really matures us. Like Greg was saying, like sitting in the office getting chewed out. It was like, I'll do it. I don't agree, but I'll do it. That's maturing. And you can see this on videos all over the internet. The mature people respond to things one way. And I'm not talking about age. I'm just talking about maturity. Mature people respond one way, and then the immature respond another.
You can't fire me, I quit.
Yeah. You know, you get that kind of thing. You can't fire me, I quit kind of thing. Or you know, they throw a fit. They throw a tantrum. Yeah. And you're like, you're 40 years old. Yeah. And you're acting like you're what? Four. You know, act your what? Your age, you know? Like, well, they don't know how to act their age because they've never been instructed on how to act their age, and no one's come alongside them to say, that's not appropriate. You know, and, you know, that's what God's word does, is it judges the thoughts. It judges our intentions. It says what is right. It says what is wrong. And then the other glorious thing about knowing God's word is this, is that you can be somewhere and you hear a pastor or teacher and they say something and you're like, that doesn't sit right with me. I can't exactly pinpoint why, but something's off about that phrase, or something's off about that point that pastor's making. And the reason you can do that is because God's word is in you, and you're, and the Holy Spirit's there going, yeah, you know. And again, how do we define discernment? Knowing between what is right and then what is what? Almost right. And I didn't make that up. That's Spurgeon. He's way smarter than me, so I'm borrowing from him. But that's what God's word does. It helps us to discern what is right and what's almost right. Because almost right can get you in trouble. I found that out when I was in Southern California. And we were in a traffic jam, and suddenly my children had to use the bathroom. So I look on my little GPS thing on my car. It says, oh, there's a Burger King. It's right off the freeway. That was almost right. It was. However, it was on Camp Pendleton.
Oh.
So guess what? We're not getting to that Burger King. I don't have the credentials to get there.
Oh.
That Burger King. It was on the Marine Corps base, you know? And if there's any base, I mean, you could try and break into Travis. You're going to get stopped. But you try to get into Marine Corps base there, it's a whole nother story, you know? So it was almost right. Was there Burger King there? Yes. Could I get to it? No. So we had to keep going down until we got to Oceanside, to where we could find a place where we could pull off and use the restroom. And so, yeah, it's one of those things. It helps us discern. Oh, because guess what? My little GPS didn't say Burger King, parentheses, Camp Pendleton. It just showed it over there. You know, it's like, so you have to be aware of that. And God's word, knowing God's word, and just listening to God's word can get you in there. And the other thing that it will do, and I know I've been preaching about this the last few weeks, it can help your prayer life amazingly. When you start praying God's word and using that as a starting point, or even sometimes if you don't know what to pray. And I've had a couple people text me this week saying, I'm praying for you, Pastor Rich. What can I pray for you for? I'm like, hey, those five things that I showed you on Sunday, that's what I'm asking for prayer for me for. And those come right out of the scriptures. Just start praying Paul's prayers for people. You know, when you're praying for your children and praying, you know, praying those Philippians that God who began a good work in them is faithful to complete it. Lord, you know, you're going to do it in them. And when they hit those teenage years, you're like, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you can do it, you know, and you keep praying that. You pray that for yourself. Like, you've started this work in me, Lord. I know you're going to do it, Lord. I want to know how deep and how wide and the breadth and the width and the of Christ, God's love for us in Christ Jesus. So help me to know that. Help my children know that. You can start praying those things. And so it helps your prayer life as well. What, as you're looking in here, and you're looking back, what are the processes that you can use for studying scriptures? You guys remember those? You can look back in your notes. This is, I'm not trying to ask you questions you don't know answers for. Yes. And meditate on it. Yeah. Think about it. And so that's another thing, is when we think about meditation, we're not trying to empty our minds. We're trying to fill our minds with God's word. And so when scripture says, especially in the Psalms where David uses the word Shelah, that's what that means, is pause a minute, think about what just got said. And so when you're reading through, sometimes you can just stop. Like when you're reading through Jude, it's just one chapter. It's like 20 odd verses. And then you get to the end, and you're like, now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you blameless. And you just start thinking about that, like, me, blameless. I can think of a lot of things to blame myself for. I don't even need help, let alone, you know, someone else trying. Like, look, I've already been over that, guys. But he's able to do that. Like, well, what enables him to do that? What allows him to do now? To him who's able, it's to him. He gets the glory. He gets the honor. He gets the praise. Mm-hmm. And you just start meditating on things, just short things like that. Even you know, John 3:16. And you just start thinking about that over and over again. God loves who? The world. I mean, he does. And we, as people who are in the church, part of the church, need to remember that God loves the world. He's got an affection for them. It's not the same, not the same, but there is an affection for him, from him toward the world. Does he not allow the rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous? He blesses them and allows them to be married, blesses them with family, husbands, wives. Sometimes God protects the unrighteous. You know, it's pretty amazing to think about how God loves the world, because he doesn't end them. I mean, that's merciful. You know, what did Jesus say to Peter? Do you not know that I have 10,000 legions of angels at my beck and call? I don't need your puny sword, Peter. Put it away. You know, and yeah, you know, and so God loved the world so much, he sent Christ. Mm-hmm. And so if God is willing to do that for them, what should I be willing to do for them? And it helps us to what? Evangelize. That whoever believes in him. And so it's not about, you know, whose palm do I got to grease to get in here? You know, who do I need to know? Or you know, what level of giving do I need to get to in order to achieve this status? No, it's just those who what? Believe. Will not perish. Meaning what? That there's the possibility of perishing is a reality whether people realize it or not. And if they believe, they can have what? Everlasting life. And so just by meditating, like real quick, just on that, I mean, you can, that's just, and thinking about that, and then using that as a springboard to prayer as well. Lord, there's people in my family who don't know you. I don't want them to perish. Well, how much are you willing? Are you sure about that? You don't want them to perish? Yes, Lord. Okay, then you're going to have to say something, because you might be the only believer they ever encounter. And if we don't say something and we keep it to ourselves because we're afraid we might offend them, or we're afraid that they might not call us or talk to us anymore or not invite us to different things, well, there's something bigger at stake. Why? They might perish. And we're not doing it, and I hate it when believers do this, and I might be even guilty of this a time or two as well. Well, I told them, so now it's on them.
How many times were you told?
Before you listened, right?
Yeah.
I spent years in Sunday school before I listened. And then even after I listened, I didn't hear it.
Connect the dots.
It took time. And so having people in your life who know the scriptures more than you is great. But you being a person in somebody's life who doesn't have the scriptures is even greater, because you have the opportunity to sow seed, to water seed. God causes the growth. You're not responsible for that. But then you can reap the harvest. And we find that in 1 Corinthians. Paul says, some sow, some water. Others reap. But God causes the growth. So what is our responsibility? Sowing, watering, reaping. We can't make somebody a believer. We can tell them about the Lord. We can encourage them about the Lord. And then we can be there to reap that harvest when it happens, but we can't make them. I mean, Jesus couldn't even do that when he was here on earth. Foxes have holes, birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And it said, many left. And then he turned to his disciples and said, are you guys going to leave me too? Peter and a smart moment. He has them every once in a while, just like me. Says, where else are we going to go, Lord? You alone have the words of life. What a statement, you know? But we don't know those things until we get into God's word. We think about it. We meditate on it. We hear it. We read it. We read it over and over and over again. He says, get a notebook. I'm not the greatest at taking notes. I really tried for this lesson, you know, where you guys had that, where's it at? It's stuff. So I did that. I started doing that, just so you know. I did the work too. From Matthew 6:33. And it really made me think. I was like, okay, let's really dig into this, you know, and look at, okay, what does this mean? You guys, let's turn there real quick. Let's, while we're talking about this. I don't know what page it's on for you. It looks like this. It's under the section that says study exercise. Page 22. We got a little bit of time. And he starts you off to kind of get the wheels greased and get the mind thinking like, okay, this is where I'm going. This is what I'm doing. Now, this is not something you have to do with every verse every day of your life, but it's a good thing to do every once in a while. If you have a favorite verse or one that speaks to you, like really diving into it. So he starts off. So the verse is what? Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. And then he starts off. Okay, number one, observation. The verse starts with the conjunction but. Okay? That's where it starts. So then you have to ask the question, what? What's the but there for? Sometimes I like to joke around and ask, is this a big but or a little but? Okay? And so it's like, you know, when a verse starts off with therefore, well, what's the therefore, therefore? Okay. It starts off with but. So the verse, and then you go to the interpretation. The verse is linked to the previous verse. So must read Matthew 6:31 through 32 for context. So that's necessary for context. What is he talking about? Well, in that portion of the scripture, he's saying, don't be like the Gentiles who chase after food and wealth and clothing and all these other things. He says, yeah, it's not your goal in life is not to be like the rich and the famous or to seek after those things. So that's why the but's there for. And he even qualifies. He says, look, there are sparrows. God provides for them. There's the lilies of the fields and he dresses them, but then they're cut down. I mean, I love it when our hills are green. They look very pretty. And I cherish those days because I know what's coming. And if your favorite color is yellow or brown, I'm sorry, it's ugly. It goes from lush, beautiful green living to deadness. And then what has to happen? Well, we have to have guys come out here and mow the lawn. Thank you, Greg. And get rid of those weeds. Why? Because they're a fire hazard. You know, and if God could dress the hills like that, he can take care of you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, always talk about the golden hills of California.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. But you start there. It starts with a but. Then you go into the section, in the second one. Okay. The second word or the key word here is verbs. We like verbs. Verbs. And if you're so inclined in your figures of speech, participles. Okay, verbs with ing endings. Those are great. You want to look for those. So the first verb in this word is what? Seek. So then you ask the question, what does it mean? What actions does seek require? What does it look like when you're seeking something? And then he answers, it means to pursue, to search. It is a command. Third thing, the verb seek is in the present tense. Mean, what does the present tense indicate? It means what? Now. So when am I supposed to be seeking God's kingdom? Right now. Not tomorrow. You missed yesterday. So do it now. So then that's what he says. I must seek now. Fourth note. Note the word of the use of the word first following seek. So these are just simple observations. He's not really going deep. However, when you start doing this, it gets deep. It can get deep real fast. And so then, okay, what is the importance of first? Well, it implies priority. So must seek as top priority. Then the next word, kingdom. What does the word kingdom signify? It's a sovereign rule or dominion over a specific realm or reign or region. Okay, it also implies what? Kingdoms have what? Kings. So somebody's in charge of this mess. Or us. We're not a mess.
Some of us are.
Well, the blood covers that. Okay. But you get the idea that there's this kingdom. Okay. Number six, the word kingdom is preceded by the personal pronoun his. So whose kingdom is identified? To whom does his refer? So looking back to verse 32, his refers to who? The Father. The Father knows what you need before you ask. So don't go chasing after those things. That's not your top priority. Your top priority is what? To seek his kingdom first. It's God's kingdom. Okay? Then I'll just give you guys my observations here. Number seven, the word and. Okay, it is what's called a coordinating conjunction. So then I have to ask the question, does and bring a correlation? My English major son's back there nodding his head like, way to go, Dad. So my interpretation then is the connection brings equal value to both elements. So do I seek his kingdom first? Yes. Do I seek his righteousness first? Yes. There's two things I need to seek first. His kingdom and his righteousness. So then you can even go, so what does that mean? Okay, so then I went, kept going. The next key word is righteousness. Okay, what is righteousness? So then that's my question. What does the word righteous imply, or what does it signify? The definition, it's to walk or to live in an upright manner and to pursue an agreed upon standard. Okay, so if I'm in his kingdom, means I'm under his kingship or his authority, and his righteousness means that what? Whose standard do I need to live up to? His. So then that takes my own righteousness and does what to it? It cancels it out. It does exactly what Isaiah says it does. For our righteous words are like filthy rags before him. And the word that's used for filthy, not to be too graphic, it's not filthy. It's menstrual. Okay? That's what it's like before God. It's menstrual rags. It means what? Nothing. You don't want anything to do with that. Okay? Then I went on. Righteousness is preceded by, again, the personal pronoun his. And I just talked about this. So what standard is identified? To whom does his refer? Also to the Father, as before. And so it is his righteous standard, God's righteousness. That's what I'm living up to. So I'm under his lordship and his kingdom. I have to live up to his standard. And if I try to do those things, okay, then we go to the next one. Then you have another keyword. Now this keyword, and, what is it? Well, is it a coordinating conjunction or is it a correlating conjunction? There's a difference. So you got to get into your parts of speech here a little bit.
Where are we?
We're still on number 10, 10 observations there. Okay. And then this seems to have the same value as previous in the verse leading importance. And so we seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Those have in. Then this next word, and, means that these all come on the same level. There's the correlating two things and then this coordinating conjunction that brings them all together. So you do these two things and then this will happen. Okay. And then you have the word all. Again, you don't have to be as picky as I was, but since he was doing it, I figured I would do it too. What things are being referred to? What are the all these things? Because that's what he's talking about, right? And so then you have to go back to verses 25 forward. And figure out in the logical or the physical needs of a person, clothing, food. Those are the things that God will provide when we're seeking his kingdom and we're seeking his righteousness. And then you can start thinking about examples of that. D.L. Moody, guy in Chicago, Moody Bible Institute's there. He had an orphanage. Never asked anybody for any money to run this orphanage. People came to him. His leaders came to him and said, hey, D.L., we don't have anything to feed the kids this morning. We don't have any milk. We don't have any bread. He's like, okay. And they're like, oh, we don't have any money. You don't ask anyone for money. We don't have any money. So he got down on his knees and began to pray. Not too long after that, a milk wagon broke down in front of the orphanage. Lost its wheel. Guy couldn't deliver his milk. It was going to spoil. So he came up to the door and knocked on the door and said, hey, my cart broke down. I can't get it moving. This milk is going to spoil. Do you guys have need for milk? Well, we just so happened to do that. I do have a need for milk this morning. Thank you very much. Had enough milk to give all the kids. Well, we need bread too. Well, guess what happened? The baker had an order. The order didn't get picked up. Have all this extra bread. It's going to go to waste. Okay, maybe I'll take it down to the orphanage and see if they have any use for it. So when you're seeking, that's just one example. And I'm sure you can think, I have examples in my own life. When Emily and I first got married, we were poor. And we would pray that our car would go on fumes.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have any money to put any money in the gas in. We had to wait till we got paid. That was 2 days away. Well, we still had to go to work. And work was far enough away that we had to drive. So what do? You pray.
Yeah.
You know, Emily has stories that she's told me that when her dad, after her dad passed away, they didn't have money for milk. Or sometimes when he was alive, they didn't have money for milk because he's going through chemotherapy and all these different medical bills coming through and different things like that. And they would start praying and people from the church would show up with groceries unprompted.
That's the church.
Yeah. And so when we are seeking God's kingdom first, do we need to fret and worry about the future as far as what the world's telling us we need to fret over? The answer is what? No. Your father knows. That's what he says. Your father knows what you need. But you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Okay, so all, what does it imply? All these things. Well, go back to verse 22, 25 and see what he's talking about. Okay. Number 12, the words will be added to you come next. So then, is this a principle or a promise? Okay. You guys know the difference between a principle and a promise? Principle, honor your father and mother, and it will go well with you in the land, and you will live a long, happy life. Okay. Some kids don't get a chance to do that. They die in labor or they are miscarried. So is it a principle or is it a promise? It's a principle. Train up a child in the way that they should go, and in their old they will not depart from it. Is that a principle or is that a promise? It's a principle. Because you can train up a kid in righteousness, and if they want to, they're going to go the wrong way, their own way. Okay, but what is a promise? Now, a promise would be put first his kingdom and his righteousness and these things, meaning your future needs. Not that you don't have to work, not that you don't have to save, not that you don't have to do all of those wise things, but the principle and the promise is there that God will take care of you. He's not going to let you fall.
He'll provide a means.
Yeah, exactly. He'll provide a means. And so, you know, God knows what we need and will provide them. He knows. And so can we take this to the bank? Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. That is not a principle. It's a what? It's a promise.
Thank you.
You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And he, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths what?
Straight.
Not easy. It's straight. Is that a promise or a principle? It's a promise. Okay. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are what? With me. Principle or promise? See the difference? And we can do that just by looking at the verse. Okay, what is he saying here? Is it a principle that if we do these things, this is the most likely outcome, but sometimes it doesn't go that way? Or is it a promise that God is making and he's putting his signature on it? It's like, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. Okay? It's a promise. If you put your faith in Christ, you will be saved from the wrath to come. It's a promise. Okay, and so we operate under promises and principles in our lives all the time. Okay, like if you drive the speed limit, will you get in an accident? Is that you're less likely to get in an accident? Well, that depends on what speed limit and what road you're on. You drive the speed limit on 80, you might get what? Rear-ended, because you're going too slow. And you're irritating people driving in the far left lane. Get out of that lane. It doesn't belong to you. Belongs to the rest of us who drive the real speed limit. Right? Not 95. Okay. So we live, you see the yellow signs that have the curve ahead and it says 25. That's not black and white. So it's not, that's not the speed limit. That's the suggested speed going around that corner. Probably be a good idea to get pretty close to that if you're going to go around a corner, because it's cambered a certain way and they know, well, I'm in a modern car, so I can go faster. Well, if that's you, great. The rest of us in top heavy minivans, we're going to go the suggested speed limit. So knowing we operate by principles and promises all throughout our life. And so understanding what the principles and promises of God's word are, we know that by studying it. Okay, so we're going to be in lesson two still next week. If you haven't listened to the second one, you can go back and listen to it. You can listen to it again. But let's go ahead and pray, and we'll be done for the day. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, we thank you for your word. Give us a hunger, Lord, as your people, for your word, to know your word, to hear it, to read it, to memorize it, to meditate on it day and night so that we can walk in a way that is honoring and pleasing to you, Lord Jesus. Glorify yourself through your word, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you guys. Thank you, everybody.